in the KS Arnold Kitchen. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash. And you had a lively evening last night, didn't you?
Oh, I did. Well, it was more the drive. Yeah, I taught a class. I've been teaching there for years and years and years at Draeger's in San Mateo, which is one of the most beautiful, I don't know how to describe it, grocery store, culinary arts store. It's also where they have a wonderful restaurant there. There are all kinds of things, and a great cooking school. So it was great.
And what did you focus on, a particular
Mexican
topic?
Flavors. So everything was Mexican food.
Was it hands-on or was it?
No, this was a demo class, but we had about 40 people there. So, and I did 5 recipes, so that's 200 plates to put out, in addition to being able to talk about them and demonstrate them.
That's a big class.
Yes, it is.
Well, back in 2014, we did a little show devoted to the pastry called Homentoshen, which is part of the Jewish celebration called Purim. And I thought, gee, it's been 5 years and Purim is this week. Maybe we should revisit Homentoshen and Purim for those that don't know.
Could you give us a quick 30 seconds on what is Purim?
Well, you know, I can't, but we have someone who can, and that is Judy Gunner. Judy is the executive director for Beth Ami Synagogue here in Santa Rosa that is having a knockdown, drag-out Purim festival starting this afternoon and evening. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning.
Nice to have you on the show. Please say hello to Chef John Ash.
Good morning.
Hello, Chef John Ash, and thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah. This is one. Well, first, why don't we give us the 60-second condensed version of what is Purim and why is it celebrated by Jews around the world?
I'll try to do that concisely. Purim is a communal holiday based on the Book of Esther in the Bible. It's celebrated on the 14th and 15th of Adar, which is the Jewish month of Adar. It's a lunar calendar, so it's not the same date every year, usually in March. So it is the story of Esther and Haman and Mordecai, and it's practiced in the shul by the reading of the Megillah. And the Megillah is a book, and it's a short scroll, and we pull it out and somebody reads it very fast and we get the whole thing read in no time at all. But besides the religious aspect of Purim, there are many customs, and one of the customs is to dress up in costumes and masks. That started in 13th century Italy, probably inspired by the Lenten practices of Christianity. We also give food, gifts, and charity. We have Purim spiels, which is a folk theater, and we eat Homentoshen. Homentoshen is a cookie. It's shaped with three corners and a filling. It is primarily made by Ashkenazi or European Jews, Germans, Poles, Russians, and Eastern European. And we also make huevos haminados, which are a Sephardic item. It's a hard-boiled egg wrapped in cookie dough and rebaked. And it symbolizes Haman's head in a noose. And the,
now, hold on. There's got to be a way that we all have to laugh here. That's very, very funny. I mean, I've never heard of this dish before. Have you ever heard of this dish?
No,
it's a pretty wild take on words, isn't it? Play words.
I have to tell you, most Jews in America are Ashkenazi, which comes from Russia, Poland, Germany, but there are Jews from all over the world. And the Sephardic Jews have left Spain with the Inquisition, and traveled throughout Italy and Turkey and Morocco. So they have a very different tradition, and there are less of them here in America. Although with Israelis coming more and more immigrating, there are more Sephardic items that come. But the Homentoshen symbolizes the ears of Haman. And he was the bad guy.
I thought it symbolized his hat. He wore a three-cornered hat.
No, he didn't wear a three-cornered hat. Not in Persia.
Not in Persia.
Okay. The book, the events of Purim, the story took place in about 357 BCE in Persia. So the fact a three-cornered hat would really be a European idea. But some people call him his ears. I guess the polite people call him a hat, but the rest call him his ears. And the Sephardi don't mince words. They call him his head in a noose. The other modern celebration are carnivals, where kids dress up and they play games. And in this last century, there was an event every Purim called the Purim Dance. And sometimes the Purim Dance was a girl-ass boy. It was the place where after winter you met the young people met. And I can't tell you how many older gentlemen have told me they met their wife at the Purim Dance. You know, so there's a lot of culture more than just the religious service of reading the Megillah. And I guess I was telling Steve the other day that you can sum up Jewish holidays with three words. They tried to kill us. We won the war. Let's eat.
So now, John, stop Judy anytime if you have questions about Homintosh.
I mean, that was, I'll have to think about that. That was more information
than you've ever heard.
Well, and it's interesting that those traditions are kept alive. So many, you know, just as a general comment, so many traditions and, you know, links to our past and all of that we've all forgotten about, but it seems like it's very alive for many Jews.
We're very community oriented as a people, and we try to get young people to come and bring the kids and be involved. And sometimes these customs will outshine the actual religious significance of the holiday, but not really. You know, it all is a story, and it all is taught, and it all has a moral. We're having a Purim spiel.
And we're going to get to that. But the Huevos Hominados, we took care of that.
Yeah.
And we took care of the Homintosh pretty well. Yeah. And it has different fillings. And we have a few of those which we're going to sample this morning.
Yeah.
I think they're poppy seed is one. And I believe
poppy seed, I think I gave you blueberry poppy seed. I think the original ones were poppy seed as a filling.
Yeah. That's my fave. I understand it's not very popular anymore, right? Is that right?
Well, people know less about it unless you're, you know, maybe Hungarian.
Or
your family comes
like for a strudel.
Like strudels and things.
Now, did you already talk about Haman's head in a noose?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I missed that. I'm sorry.
That's the
egg. The hard-boiled egg. That symbolizes his head in a noose, and grandmothers bake them and give them to their grandchildren.
This is interesting. While we were chatting yesterday at Bethany, we were joined by the rabbi. He came into the office, Rabbi Mordecai Miller, and it turns out that he's quite an opinionated Homintoshan historian, I might say. And he had some very strong opinions about what the proper way to make Homintoshan is, and the old way, and then the new way, and the shortcuts, and very learned man, not only in Talmudic scholarship, but Homintoshan.
It's just a cookie.
It's more than
any other name.
It's more than a cookie. So today, as you mentioned, there's going to be a festivities both this afternoon and this evening. So tell us about what we will experience if we attend either of these two events.
Okay, it is a Purim spiel. And Purim spiels began in Europe around the 1500s. And they are a satire with music and dance, and that they tell the story of Queen Esther, in a parody. So this is the 17th year that we've done a Purim spiel. And some of our spiels have been written by one of our congregants. Her name is Leanne Shy, and she's really fabulous. As an example, once we did a Motown Megillah. So it's the story of Esther all sung to the tunes of Motown. We did a Lay Magillo, which was the parody of Esther sung to the words of Les Miserables.
Hey, but this year it's Back to the Future.
This mm-hmm. year is Back to the Future. All the costuming will be in the 70s, and the songs will be from the 70s.
I can't believe the lineup of songs that are there.
So we're running short of time, Judy. So tell us what time the afternoon event starts and what that is involved. What's involved in that?
Tonight it starts at 7:30. It costs $30. Oh, okay. It has a reception beforehand with wine and finger food. And on Sunday it's at 2:00 and it costs $10. And the Purim spiel, I need to tell you, was the origin of Yiddish theater. So if you've seen any of the wonderful German, Polish, Yiddish theater, it came out of the tradition of Purim spiel.
Okay. So today, once more, today's events, what time does the Saturday event start?
Saturday, 7:30 in the evening. Okay. It's $30. You can buy a ticket at the door.
Okay.
And it includes a reception with wine and finger food. And Sunday's reception. And Hamantaschen.
And Hamantaschen.
And where? And where?
Yes, absolutely.
And where is the synagogue?
The synagogue is attached to the Friedman Center, which is at 4676 Mayette Avenue in Santa Rosa.
And then tomorrow's event, what time's that? The Sunday event?
2:00 in the afternoon, and it costs $10.
Okay. You can go online, www.bethonthesr.org. www.bethonthesr.org. Can we also, if people want to call, will there be someone to take a message? Or
you're not? No, today is Shabbat.
Oh, right.
We
of
don't
course.
Answer the phone.
Right.
On Shabbat.
Okay. But you can check email. God says that checking email is okay, doesn't it?
No, God, there's nothing in the Bible about email.
Okay, so it's Back to the Future, the Megillah. Congregation Bethany has presented this incredible theatrical presentation for some 16, 17 years.
So just read a couple of the songs that are going to be performed.
Why don't you read a couple?
You've got You're Not Going to Take It by Twisted Sister, Eye of the Tiger by Survivor.
Like a Virgin by
Madonna. Yeah. Another one, Bites the Dust by Queen.
So it will actually, there's a lot of merriment involved in the holiday known as Purim, and we invite our listeners to experience the magic at Bethany. Judy Gunnar, thank you so much for joining us today. This was actually a lot of fun. It was wonderful meeting you and the rabbi, and hope you have a successful event today and tomorrow.
Oh, well, thank you very much, and thank you for inviting me.
Our pleasure. Executive Director Judy Gunnar of Temple Beth Ami in Santa Rosa.
Boy, she has so much energy.
You eat 8-10 Homintosh in the morning, you're on fire. We're going to take a break and come back and talk about something very different, and that is a salmon festival that's taking place in St. Helena today. More of that on the KSRO Good Food Hour. I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash.
Sonoma County's FM News Talk at 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO, depend on it.
Arcturus is hiring at their new location in Petaluma. Arcturus Unmanned Aerial Vehicles is a growing aviation manufacturing facility in Petaluma. Arcturus UAV is holding a job fair Saturday, March 30th at their new factory on North McDowell. Arcturus, the brightest star in the Northern Hemisphere, and Arcturus UAV is looking for stars in manufacturing, avionics, and production. Go to Arcturus-UAV.com. Be a star at Arcturus UAV.
Eager for a new home, the Garcias started with Tri-Counties Bank home mortgage loan specialist Kirsten McKeon. The team worked quickly to pre-qualify them, and they were off. After months of searching, the Garcias became discouraged. So Kirsten kept her eyes open, spotted an ideal house, and shared it with the Garcias, leading them to the perfect new home. Homeward Found. For personalized problem solving, switch to Tri-Counties Bank. Service with solutions. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 458732.
Michael O'Shea here, manager of KSRO. When Malm Fireplace Center joined us as a Warrior sponsor, I went in to meet Ken and Shelley, owners. I walked into a warm and inviting showroom with all the latest technology and efficient and beautiful ways to warm your home. Yep. I walked out with a new fireplace insert, which is operated with a touch of a handy remote and has become an immediate beautiful addition to my home. Malm Fireplace Center, for 60 years serving up warm and beautiful. 368 Yolanda, Santa Rosa, and Malm, M-A-L-M, fireplacecenter.com.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's the buy one, get one free paint sale at Ace, our biggest paint sale of the year. Buy a gallon of our top paint brands like Valspar and Clark & Kensington and get the second free. And you know what else is free? Our help. With the Ace Extra Mile Promise, get everything you need to paint in one trip or deliveries free. Don't miss the buy one, get one free paint sale, now through Monday, only at Ace. Limit 2, delivery subject to availability. Visit acehardware.com for more details.
You can find the best deals in Sonoma County only on MySonomaDeals.com. Enjoy dining, family fun, health, and beauty, and more for just half the price. The deals are always changing in a limited quantity, so make sure to check often so you don't miss out on these amazing deals. Savings and fun, all wrapped into one, only at MySonomaDeals.com. That's MySonomaDeals.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash, celebrating 32 years in the KSRO kitchen. And something near and dear to your heart is salmon. As long as we've done this show, you have been leading the charge on sustainable salmon fishing.
Yeah, yeah.
Part of your work at the Monterey Seafood.
The Bay Aquarium. Yeah,
the Bay Seafood Aquarium Watch, has been going back years and years. You're a frequent fisherman yourself.
I've
gone to Alaska many times.
Every year in the summertime, go up there and go salmon fishing, which is fantastic.
And that's why we felt it was important to have some of the folks in from Wild Perspectives, which is celebrating the International Year of the Salmon, which I did not know was this year. Mm-hmm. And it's happening today, starting at 2 o'clock this afternoon at the Cameo Cinema in St. Helena. And we want to tell you what events are going to be featured this afternoon. We have a couple guests in the KSRO kitchen. I'm going to have you introduce yourself because I'll blow your last name.
Well, I'm Amy Gulick, and I'm a photographer and a writer, and I have a new book coming out called The Salmon Way.
Amy did tell me it rhymes with Buick, but I didn't trust myself to say Gulick correctly on the first one. How do you spell your last name?
G-U-L-I-C-K.
And you have one copy of the book because it's not out till May 1st.
I do. It's a coveted copy sitting right here just for you to look at.
So how did you get the one copy?
Well, the printer always sends advanced copies before sending the whole shipment.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And you have another book on salmon that came out 6-7 years ago or so?
Yes, that one's called Salmon in the Trees.
And tell us about that. How does that differ from this one?
Well, Salmon in the Trees focused on a particular region in the state of Alaska, and it focuses on this rather remarkable connection between the salmon and forests in that part of the state. Everybody, they hear the title and they just think, oh, that's some kind of metaphor, like, you know, fairies in the breeze or something like that. And it's like, no, there really are salmon in the trees. And the way that this works, so salmon are born in freshwater streams and rivers. They head out to the oceans to mature. Then they come back to their birth streams to spawn the next generation. And when they come back, so in southeast Alaska, there's more than 5,000 spawning streams. This part of the world has some of the highest densities of both brown and black bears. And so when all these, just millions and millions of wild salmon are coming back and filling these streams, and all these bears come down, and, you know, this is kind of the time of year they really, you know, wait for. And so they come down and they're pulling salmon out of the streams. And it turns out bears don't really like being around each other. And so when they catch a fish, they will often then carry it off into the woods to avoid, you know, getting into kerfuffles with other bears.
Kerfuffles. Yeah.
That's a nice way of putting it. But it turns out that bears carry a lot of salmon into the forest. And so over time, all this you know, all these fish carcasses are kind of laying around, and then other animals come in and scavenge on them, and they drag them further. Well, the salmon are bringing these incredible nutrients with them in their bodies from the ocean. And what scientists have found is this, it's called nitrogen 15. It's a nitrogen variant, comes from the ocean, and they found just ridiculously high concentrations of this nitrogen 15 in trees, like inside trees. You know, so like up at the very tops and the needles and, you know, in the core itself. And they've determined that this is all coming from the salmon. It's pretty remarkable.
Remarkable. Your first book, Salmon in the Trees, Life in Alaska's Tongass Rainforest, won both the Nautilus Book Award and the Independent Publisher Book Award. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And the new one's The Salmon Way in Alaska, State of Mind, that'll be out May 1st. So you live up in Puget Sound?
Yes, in Washington State.
And are you a fisherwoman?
You know, it's well, I mean, I'm a photographer and a writer.
Yeah. But you've done some fishing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do. It's interesting. It's yeah.
But you can't write and take photos and fish at the same time.
You know, that is so true.
Yeah.
And for the fisherman's portion of the show, we turn to Tyson Fick. Hi, Tyson.
Hello.
And thank you for coming in this morning. You are the skipper of the fishing vessel Heather Ann and co-owner of the direct marketing cooperative Taku River Reds.
That is correct.
Is that correct?
Mm. That's right.
I don't know what Taku River Reds are.
Taku River is an amazing watershed that's just south of Juneau, Alaska, that flows through Alaska and into, from Canada and then through Alaska. Supports all five species of salmon. It's really just an incredibly robust and fantastic place to be a salmon.
So this is a river area or watershed area?
Right, a river area. The Taku River is one of three major transboundary rivers that flow through southeast Alaska and produce a tremendous amount of salmon.
Is that where you fish?
In the Taku District exclusively. I also Dungeness crab and do some other things and to try to make ends meet.
Well, because everybody in Alaska, you know, they're all outlaws up there. Did you know that? No, I'm teasing. Everybody that I, because I go to Alaska quite often, and it's always funny, the people I meet, they're always, you start asking their background and where they're from, and they don't want to share it. they're all running away from something. Is that right?
Well, they call them end of the roaders. You get to the end of the road, and then there you are.
So Amy shaking her head, yes. Yeah.
So the Taku River Reds, what is the Reds part?
So Reds, there's five species of Pacific salmon. Oh. Reds, or sockeyes is one name for them. You can kind of remember them with your hand. You got a chum for your thumb.
This is great. Go ahead.
Pointer finger, you can sock somebody in the eye, so it's a sockeye. You have the king of fingers.
Oh, I get it. The king of fingers.
And then you have a ring finger, and that ring could be silver. So silver or coho salmon. And then pink is pinky.
Pink. Uh-huh. Have you ever heard this before?
I have never heard that. I'm going to use that if you don't mind. That's so fantastic. So is there something special about the salmon that come out of the Taku River? You know, part of it, I ask that question because, and maybe it's just all marketing, you know, all of this stuff around Copper River salmon, and that may be a marketing thing more than...
There are variances with with salmon that come from different rivers. Mm. The longer the river, the more fat buildup and reserves that they have to make the run. You know, some of the most famous are the Yukon River Kings that go like 2,100 miles across Alaska and across northern Canada and spawn in the mountains almost back to the United States again. And the Taku is very much like the Copper River and like some others where the run is longer. You know, it's steep, glacial, very rapid river. So these fish have to be super vigorous to make it to the spawning grounds. And then other places may have shorter runs and where the fish tend to be maybe smaller, a little less robust, still wonderful. Mm-hmm. But there is variance between rivers, and I'd say Taku is right up there with Copper River for sure.
Wow. How many months a year do you fish for salmon?
Yeah, for salmon, we start on Father's Day, so I have that booked every year. It's that's the first Sunday opener at 12:01 p.m. We're allowed to put our net out in very specific areas and specific net sizes. And then we fish, my season's about 14 or 15 weeks.
Boy, that's a
Depending on what the weather says at the end of the season.
It's a lot to cram into such a short period of time.
It is, and ours is actually a little more stretched out. That's one cool thing about the Taku system in particular in these larger rivers is there's multiple species, like a portfolio of runs that happens throughout the year.
So one of the concerns is that some places salmon are, because of habitat destruction and other kinds of things, there aren't quite so many of them. What's being done to... It is the thing that comes to mind, and I think you mentioned it in your book, is the whole Bristol Bay thing and this pebble mine proposal that's up there, and the concern that might destroy the.
Well, yeah, the good news is that in America, in Alaska in particular, we've largely solved the overfishing issue. I mean, the Constitution of Alaska in 1959 said, you know, we're going to manage for sustained yield, and they just put the whole idea of sustainability for seafood on the map, you know, in the 50s, which is phenomenal. And there's all these user groups that have benefited from that, whether it's commercial or sport or subsistence or, you know, taking photos and writing books about salmon. To have that opportunity this many years later is phenomenal, because at statehood, I think we caught like 28 million fish. You know, last year was the 24th or 5th year in a row with over 100 million fish. So it's really an amazing success story. But the threats to salmon and why it's so important to celebrate something like Year of the Salmon is that the threats to salmon are way bigger than fishing, and they're existential. And things like giant mines at the headwaters of the greatest salmon runs, things like, you know, huge warming events, the blob, you know, off the West Coast, this hot water event really had dramatically affected ocean survival. You know, these kinds of things, these sorts of, you know, competing interests with resource extraction in particular and unchecked development, really, you know, we've seen what happened all over the world to salmon, and we have a nice stronghold, and hopefully we have some support to keep it.
We'll take a break at that point. In our KSRO kitchen today is Amy Gulick. She is a photographer and author. Her new book out May 1st is The Salmon Way, An Alaska State of Mind. And Tyson Fick, who's skipper of the fishing vessel Heather Ann and co-owner of the direct marketing cooperative Taiku River Reds. We're going to be tasting some salmon, and we want to come back and really go in depth about the event happening this afternoon in St. Helena called Wild Perspectives. If you have the time and energy and interest, we encourage you to attend the event this afternoon. This is Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Do you ever imagine bringing the indoors outdoors?
Hi, I'm David from Sonoma County Sunrooms and Patio Covers. Thinking about redoing your patio this summer? Why not add a louvered roof?
David, what is a louvered roof?
A louvered roof is a covered patio that you control. Whether you want shelter or shade, a smart remote directs the natural lighting and temperature of your patio through the louvered roof from Structure. Business owners, architects, and patrons love this product as it complements countless commercial outdoor projects such as restaurants, tasting rooms, and beer gardens. Let Sonoma County Sunrooms and Patio Covers bring this product to your backyard or business. Our design team is able to work with you to stay within a budget everybody is comfortable with.
Want a louvered roof system that expands into your backyard? Create an outdoor living space like no other and make your backyard your new favorite room.
Visit SoCoSun.com or their showroom on Santa Rosa Avenue, just north of Todd Road. They're offering a free drop screen upgrade for a limited time. SoCoSun. Design. Installations. Remodeling.
Hi there, Bennett Valley and Santa Rosa. This is Kristeny from Bennett Valley Pet Center. I wanted to wish you and your furry loved ones a happy spring. We have a variety of bright and colorful collars, leashes, and harnesses for your pups to sport on their sunny walks. We also have some great throwing toys for these nice spring days. We have popular foods such as Taste of the Wild on sale this month for just $39.99 for a 30-pound bag. Come see us at Bennett Valley Pet Center, located on Yalupa in the CVS Shopping Center.
Amazing experience from beginning to end.
Introducing Miss Yelp with a real Yelp review from another grateful client of Dr. Walter Tom's Aesthetic Laser and Vein Center in Santa Rosa.
You won't find a more honest, sincere doctor or staff in this area. My surgery was pretty close to having a spa day. I was awake, not in pain, getting a head massage, and listening to my favorite music. I am so pleased with the results, and I have and I will recommend Dr. Tom to anyone. My husband is an even happier man now.
Hi, this is Dr. Walter Tom. My staff and I are dedicated to improving our patients' self-confidence by enhancing their self-image with advanced technology and education in a warm, safe, and secure environment.
For your free consultation with Dr. Tom, please call 542-8346. That's 542-8346.
Look younger by Monday.
Call 542-8346 or visit Dr. Tom's Aesthetic Laser and Vein Center on Stony Point Road in Santa Rosa or online at laserandvein.com.
Whether your next thrills come on the water, on the road, or cross country, come see your options at the 4th Annual Boat RV and Sports Show. March 29th through 31st at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds. NorthBayBoatRV.com.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Mostly sunny skies today, high 62 in Santa Rosa, 55 along the coast. Mostly clear skies tonight, low 37, 39 on the shores. A bit cloudy for Sunday at 64, 58 in Bodega Bay. A little bit of rain comes back early Monday morning, high 57 though in the day. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
In the KSRO kitchen, Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash, and special guest today, Amy Gulick. She is an author, photographer. Her new book is Salmon in the Trees, Life in Alaska's Tongass Rainforest. It'll be out May 1st, and her website is www.salmoninthetrees.org. Is that correct, Amy?
Yes, that's the first book, but
the first
book.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I looked at the first book. It's the okay. Salmon Way and Alaska State of Mind that'll be out.
Yes.
And people can pre-order the book?
Yes, at thesalmonway.org.
And Tyson Fick, fisherman and owner of Taku River Reds, is with us.
And we were just asking you, can we get some of your Taku River Red, and how would we do that?
Funny you should ask. Other than serving, you know, supplying some of the best restaurants around the world, we have a website, takusalmon.com. It's taku-salmon, and taku is T-A-K-U. Mm. So taku-salmon.com, web store, that kind of thing. We try to do a community-supported fishery, so get your friends together. You know, the best rate is to like get 40 pounds at a time, and it's all processed on board, pressure bled, absolutely taken care of at the highest level.
Great. Amy, you spend a lot of time in your book talking to a lot of people about what salmon means to them. Your photography is stunning, the narration is stunning, but what was most moving to me was the people you spoke with.
Oh, absolutely. So when I was working on that first book, you know, Salmon in the Trees, I traveled all throughout a certain part of the state, and it's actually the part of the state where Tyson's from. It's called Southeast Alaska, and there are many different, probably what, 36 small communities throughout that whole area, and none of them are connected by roads or bridges, so they're all kind of separated from one another. And when I was doing that, when traveling around, I was struck by two things. I was struck by how all these communities, while they're very different from one another, everybody speaks this common language, and that language is salmon. So salmon was this common thread that really tie everybody together. So that really struck me. And then the second thing I was struck by was, it didn't really matter where I went, whom I met with, how short or long of a period of time I spent with people, I always seem to leave with salmon in my hands. And I was so touched by this because I quickly learned how much time, energy, effort, heart and soul, you know, went into what they were putting into my hands. And it was as if they were giving me a part of themselves. And I imagine it's not unlike here, say in Northern California, if somebody gives you a bottle of wine or, you know, a wheel of cheese or olive oil that they've made themselves, like you realize, you know, how much love goes into that. But there's a big difference, and that difference is salmon are these remarkable wild creatures that just show up every year. We don't have to farm them. We don't have to, you know, feed and water them. They just arrive doing what they've always done, you know, for millions and millions of years. And so it's really easy to start to view salmon in Alaska as this incredible gift, you know, that shows up. And I think that when you're on the receiving end of a gift, you give back. That is definitely the salmon way, and it's a very widely shared common value among Alaskans. And some funny stories, you know, I had a lot of people tell me, oh, you know, my barber will not accept cash from me, but he will accept salmon. You know, another woman said, you know, oh, salmon are how I get my gutters cleaned. You know, and the gutter guy comes immediately. You know, so if he knows I'm going to pay him in salmon.
It's the Bitcoin of Alaska.
Totally. Yeah.
just remarkable. I was really touched, as I said, by the profiles that you drew in the book.
So share one of those with us. I mean, I know they're all your favorites and all of that stuff, but it was these family connections also. There was a wonderful picture in the book of grandma teaching her young grandson how to fillet and cut up salmon and do all of that.
Yeah, so I traveled throughout. And firstly, you have to realize that Alaska's huge. It's more than twice the size of the state of Texas. And so I went to as many different parts of the state as I could to just see how different people in different parts of the state lived and lived by salmon. And again, this common theme that runs through everybody's lives, you know, is the fish. But I wanted to spend time with a variety of people. So I actually crewed on a commercial fisherman's boat for a few days. I'd never, just to see what that's like. I spent time with Alaska Native families who, you know, for thousands and thousands of years, I mean, their cultures were built by salmon. And then I spent time with sport fishing guides and, you know, people and kind of the sport end of it, you know, that you go and enjoy, John. And I think, I mean, every single person I met, you know, who was touched by salmon was, you know, incredibly enjoyable to be around. But I think these families, especially the Alaska Native families, again, whose cultures have been, you know, built by salmon and who have just been doing this for thousands and thousands of years, to spend time with them at their fish camps, with often, usually three generations, sometimes four generations or three and a half generations, you know, so, you know, another one on the way, was just amazing. You quickly see that while salmon is food to people, and it's a very, very important part of food for Alaska Native folks and anybody who lives in rural areas, it's so much more than food. It's culture, it's identity, it's community. Salmon forge relationships across generations. It's really who the people are. Mm-hmm. And really spending time with families and just watching, especially the little kids, you know, just running around. They're just having a ball. You know, they're out on the river and, you know, they're out in the, you know, they get to be out at their fish camp for 6 weeks. And, you know, like, what a great way.
So you had some amazing pictures of drying of salmon, which is a very ancient technique before there was refrigeration and stuff.
Yes.
And something I didn't know, that the spawning salmon, which you also have amazing pictures of, because they're otherworldly in terms of their shapes and colors and all of that stuff, that you can eat those too. You can dry them.
Yes. I know, which surprised me, right? Yes, yeah. There's, depending on where you live, this was fascinating to me, depending on where you live in the state and whether you're on the coast, you know, and you're getting your salmon like kind of as they're coming right off the ocean, you know, kind of headed into their spawning streams, or you may live 1,000 miles up the Yukon River. So that fish you're going to get 1,000 miles up the Yukon River is going to be very different than if you lived at the mouth of the river. And so people, again, particularly Alaska Native folks, I mean, they would take whatever they could. And there is, yes, there are some cultures that they would take the spawning sockeye. So when they, you know, they've turned from that beautiful bright silver color and now they're that gorgeous red color. But these folks are much further up the river systems, and they would they'd take the spawning sockeye and dry those as well. There's actually a name in the Dena Ena language. It's called noodlevi, and that's when they take the spawning sockeye and they dry that. And to some of it, and this was interesting, like to me, you know, I would kind of crinkle my nose at the thought. It's like, wait a minute, you're eating rotten salmon. And they made it very clear to me. It's like, no, it's not rotten. It's just very different. They're in a very different phase. And so I